Certainly grateful for your presence. This old man sitting over here is Kenny. He looks about a year older than I think he is. I got a couple announcements I'd like to leave you with. We finally got a hold of Vicki Eccles yesterday. She's had back surgery. She's been gone for 3 weeks. We did not know anything about it. But she's down, and I told Grant to put that on the announcement, and I told two or three of the ladies that sits back there with her that she's out. She's a new convert, but she was very friendly to me, and she's down. Gordon is in Philadelphia picking up a prisoner, hopefully. They'll meet him at the airport, the police up there. If not, they'll have to go look for him. He's got another detective with him. Ginger is working mandatory overtime today for the medical center. The medical center required it. The medical center, hospital. Larry Vaughn. Let's see, what else we got to talk about? Oh, Ezekiel. We have covered about 3.5 chapters in Ezekiel. Did I tell you about Kenny? Happy birthday. He sure looks a lot older, doesn't he? Yeah. All right. What have we talked about? What Ezekiel, the first 3.5 chapters so far? Yeah, we talked about that. Nothing. Excuse me? To me, I think he's seeing a lot of vision. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the daily Bible reading that they put in the news notes started last week or something. If you have, you went through two books. Right off the bat, they're in parables. And that was just a way of teaching back then. Parable, vision, symbolic language, everything. I think that they probably understood it a lot more than we did. Ezekiel is understanding, and he's weeping over what he has to do. And so when I look at it that way, I try to get the general overall picture and not have to identify every little thing. But if you want to, you go right ahead, and I'll let you do it. What else? For how long? A long time, haven't they? Even we read some with the forefathers today. Wonder what the wonder the barren things that they're living in sin. Well, they was worshiping up the idols because all the nations around them, they're getting away from God's word. Wasn't paying attention to his word. So what is God doing to Ezekiel? That's right. God is making sure Ezekiel has the word, and I think God is giving him a little of a divine help through the Spirit, understanding and taking to the people. And sometimes it's going to be bitter to Ezekiel, and sometimes because right now he's talking about the gloom and doom of going into captivity. And you know, it's not too good. We have never lived that way, but we've seen it on television. We've seen refugees, you know, not having nothing and being discarded. It's rough from what we've seen. I sitting there watching. I watch very little TV, and I was going to sit down and watch UK play basketball, and I thought it came on 7 o'clock and then come on 8 o'clock, so I was flipping through all the sport channels. You know what I mean? I have just a regular package TV. You know how many sports channels I have? 20. I said, man, when I was a kid, we got the first TV on the block, late 40, early 50, and I remember ABC. We got a little bit of sports about every 5 minutes on the news. Now all these people got all these channels to pick, you know, from and watch. I lived a deprived life. Well, the children of Israel is going to get ready to go through that. And Ezekiel serves as God's messenger to tell the people about that. I'm sure that they understand what's wrong. Why is we're going to be taken away to Babylonian captivity? Why are we being taken out of our country? Because of your sin. You was a rebellious nation. You're my people, and I bless you, and I have blessed you, and you turn against me. So God is giving Ezekiel his word. So the eating of the scroll, which we'd always seen, symbolized the reception of God's word. That's one of the things it brings to me. I don't know why it brings you. Following the reception of the word, there must be a proclamation of it. So that's a good lesson to us. We need to be equipped. We need to be trained. And after we are that away, we take it out to the world and let them chew it. The idea that the scroll tasted sweet like honey could be it was the Word of God. And that's the way the Word of God is supposed to. You know, David mentions this in the Psalms several times. And that's the way it should be too. Ezekiel did not literally eat the scroll. He's talking about that he being equipped, he being informed of it. I think Ezekiel must familiarize himself with the Word of God. All teachers, all preachers, all people who go that take the gospel out must know the Word. By reading the scroll as eagerly and attended as one eats food to satisfy the hunger. The physical hunger. We sit down and eat physical food. Spiritual hunger. He wants us to spend a little time in the book. And that's what we've talked about so far. God is supernaturally aiding the prophet to comprehend and mentally preserve the unpleasant message. This is hard on Ezekiel. He's going along, and we'll get into the fourth chapter. We're up on the fourth chapter, verse 9 today. We'll get that just a couple more slides. It has to be hard on him. He's telling about what all they're going to have to go through because of their sins. And God is sending Ezekiel to them to do that. We noticed something, and Doug brought this out in the third chapter, and we're going to deal with this again right now. Personal accountability before the Lord. You know, we have a lot of good people in this auditorium. We got some people in this auditorium that we're lucky we're going to spend eternity with. But when we get to the judgment, I just don't walk around to the gate and say, hey, I'm Charlie, I'm from Southside. Oh, come on in, Charlie, I know Southside. See, it could be the other way around. We could not be a true, faithful church. And you wouldn't say, oh, you remember Southside? Well, you can't come in. We wouldn't want to answer that away either, would we? And I'm not going to get into heaven because of all the good people we got here in this fine church. We have personal accountability. The Bible teaches it. And we'll have this whole lot more to say. That Ezekiel gives strong emphasis to the truth that salvation is an individual base. We need to get that. And he starts out in the third chapter. He has that a few times. we're going to get it, as we'll see here in a few minutes, the 18th chapter, too. The innocent will not have to bear the guilt of the wicked, and the wicked may suffer some evil consequence from their wickedness. In other words, we can be driving home today, and the drunk driver can cross over and hit us and put us in a wheelchair. I suffer the consequence of his sins, but I won't stand in judgment and answer for it. I'm going to stand for Charlie. And we're going to see that. Ezekiel 18 is a very important Old Testament chapter on the theme of individualism. And I have about 3 sermons on that and about 5-6 invitations. It's one of my favorites. We need to be reminded that salvation is a personal decision for each of us. Whosoever will. The gospel is for all. But I have a responsibility accepting God's grace. And his grace is manifested in the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe, it didn't do you any good to be baptized. You remember that. If somebody springs that on you. Just look at them right in the eyes. Let me ask you a question. Would it do any good to be baptized if you don't believe? Of course, God gives Ezekiel some prophecy about the glory future. Gloom and doom, we get done with it. When we get down to the end of the book, I think, following the prediction and fall of Jerusalem. Well, right now, we're in the... today, we'll be in the lesson and probably finish it up Wednesday night about the fall. But Ezekiel will be given a message of hope in the future, too. And I personally believe, after a series of oracles about the destruction of the holy city, which we're going to be dealing with, he looks ahead down to the latter of the part of the book, to the messianic and to the church, to produce hope in the new spiritual Israel. The church will have strong enemies too. Now, I don't want to give you false hope, but you're going to have enemies going on. But the new Israel, spiritual Israel, will exist in divine splendor and under heaven's protection. I take a lot of comfort in that. That God's looking after us. This word right here won't ever go away. This church won't ever go away. It might change and so forth. And we came through some dark ages and dark time. And this prophet found the power to fill his role as God's watchman. Or preacher, or whatever you want to call him, prophet for Israel in divine strength. And God was seeing to it that Ezekiel, you're going to have divine strength. To tell all these people what it's all about, we got to have divine strength. So he said, I'm giving you my word, I'm giving you my spirit, and I'm with you. I want you to go and tell my people this. That what they're going through is because of their sins, but the future will be bright. Have to repent. 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5. Can't walk in darkness and serve God. You can't do it. All right, this is where we're at. Anything else you want to bring up? Doug got up to the 9th verse and he didn't know anything about from the 9th down to the 17th, so he just saved it for me. I don't know anything about it either. He's going to be a witness to the punishment for their sin. And we are too. We are too. And not only should that be a lesson to Ezekiel, but it should be a lesson to us too. Okay? And you, take wheat and barley. Now, this is mixed with other things. It's not a light, a white flour. It's beans and lentil and millet and ember. But a single vessel and make bread from them. To me, when I look that up, it's less quality grain than what you would generally bake with. Wonder why. You're not going to have it. You're going to be under siege. You're not going to have the fine stuff. Matter of fact, you're going to just try to strive to get by. It's going to be rough. We've seen all that on television. We've seen them out fighting for food and eating mud and making mud cakes and stuff like that. During the number of days that you'll lie on your side, 390, when I get down to the end, we'll talk a little bit about that. We won't talk too much about it because I don't know too much about it. You shall eat it. And your food that you eat shall be by weight. What does that tell you? Yes. Yes. It's going to be rationed out. I remember my grandfather and grandmother was talking about rationing back in the 30s. I don't remember that. I wasn't even born. But, you know, you can understand that. 20 shekels, and this will be explained later on. A day from day to day, and you shall eat it, and water you shall drink by measure, a sixth part of hin from day to day you shall drink. Now we're going to see later on, this is not very much. Matter of fact, most of us eat more than this in one meal today. My dad was a water drinker. I'm a water and coffee drinker, you know, and I could almost do without food if I just had water. I was up to see Freddie yesterday. He said, boy, I'd give $10 for a pint of milk right now. You must be a milk drinker. And I said, I know. I've been there and done that, Freddie, about water. And I had this nurse said, I've been offered $100 for chips, ice chips. I said, I'll give you more than that. But, you know, if you got it, you know, you do it. And so I said, I told Freddie, I said, you got $10? I said, I'll go downstairs. I'll probably buy you a pint of milk for $2. I'll make $8, and I'll bring it back every 2 years. We'll both be happy. He kind of grinned. I said, ask the doctor when you come in if you can have a pint of milk. Well, I was at a way about coffee or water. I said, just give me a cup of coffee in the morning time. Just give me a cup of water. You know, that's all I want. Well, unless you've been there. And these people right here didn't have no resources to that. And you shall eat it in a barley cake. Kind of remind me of the manna thing, but I don't know why. Bake it in their sight on human dung as waste. And the Lord said, thus shall the people of Israel eat their bread unclean among the nation when I will drive them. Then I said, oh, Lord, behold, this is Ezekiel saying, I have never defiled myself from my youth up until now, and I have never eaten what's dry, what's dead of itself, or was born or torn by a beast, nor has tainted meat coming into my mouth. You know what I thought about when I read this? I thought about all the roadkill that we have. You know, we just drive right over it. There's people in different countries who go out there and scrape that up. You know, I used to go, my grandfather and a couple of my uncles lived there, and my cousin, well, he was probably his second or third cousin. He was more like an uncle because he was up in his 30s, and I was probably 13, 14 years old. Used to go rabbit hunting, squirrel hunting, bird hunting. He taught me a whole lot. He was about the best I've seen to find rabbits sitting. We could walk through a cornfield, and in the time we got over to the corner, he'd find five, six sitting. but he never would let me shoot any of them sitting. We walk over there, and on a cold day like today, he would have hit one of them in the ramp and knock him about 10 feet up in there, and he hit the ground running and shooting. First, I thought he was just trying to show me what a good shot he is. No, he said, you don't kill an animal that's sick. You make sure you run. Now, on a cold day like today, it was kind of hard to make him run sometimes. But he could see him sitting. He said, wait a minute, Charlie, there's one right there. And he'll tiptoe over here and now, and all of a sudden he'd get 3 or 4 feet back and he'd just haul and kick that rabbit. And that rabbit go. And boy, when he hit the ground, I shot him. Well, it's going to get bad enough for them that they'll probably go out and get roadkill. We ain't never lived that way. But there's people in this world living that way right now. Not only do they not have the spiritual word, they don't have the physical means to take care of it. You know, when a guy sees his family hungry, that'd be hard. And then the Lord said to me, see, I assigned to you cow dung. You know, when I first read this, I said, somewhere in my mind, I didn't read about this, but I've seen somebody do this. Finally, I come to the conclusion, instead of a human dung, on which you may prepare your bread. I can remember my grandfather and grandmother on Clark's side was dirt poor, lived on a farm. They raised everything, done that. And I remember about twice a year, she'd get a big old kettle out there, build up a fire, and I remember taking a grain shovel and going up in the barn field and getting cow manure, putting it in there on the fire and burning it. Didn't have nothing. Quite common. And that's where you got this person living high on the all. Boy, she'd make sausages and she even made soap. Lye soap, that the last thing she did. And boy, it cleaned you too, because it took the hide off from you. You know, it take the dirt and the hide. But that night, boy, we'd have tenderloin and stuff like that. And I can remember going up to the barn and taking this corn scoop, which is pretty good size, and getting quite a bit, bring it down here and putting it on the fire. I had a hard time remembering back to where that was at. My youngest daughter can tell you a story about that. We used to live right across the street from my dad. And she was about like Bella. Every time Grandma and Grandpa got home, she went running across the street to them. And we're seeing Grandpa out there working in the garden. She said, what are you doing, Grandpa? And he said, oh, I'm going to put some fertilizer out on my garden. And, you know, her, she said, well, can I help? Oh, yeah, come on up here. I got a wheelbarrow full. So I went over there and everything. And they were going along and putting on tomato plants and everything. Cow manure. Dad made a mistake. He said, Chris, would you bring that wheelbarrow, that manure over here again? She said, manure, I got my hands in that stuff, Papa. You told me it was fertilizer. So it was quite common. We haven't done it in our age. But I think what we're going to be looking at is some symbolic acts related to the siege of Babylon coming in and taking over. Ezekiel is acting out symbolic messages, I think. That's the easiest way to me to explain something. But in any case, here's the main point of it. Hardship was evident. They're going through some hardship. I can't explain everything, what all those symbols stands for, but I know it's hardship. Such things would be possible in a vision to see and understand it better. But the overall theme was they had some hard times coming. Times we ain't never endure. Ezekiel symbolic diet during the day of the siege was designed to set forth two basic thoughts that I see. Maybe there's more there, but I'm going to share two with you. The sanctity of the food which would exist in Jerusalem during the final stage. When Babylon, there's not going to be anything to eat. You're talking about dropping some off the floor and reaching down, and you give 5 seconds to pick it up so you can. It wouldn't make no difference if it was on the floor or not if you're hungry. You'd probably get down on the floor and eat. We ain't never lived like that. But there's people in this world this morning that got up, and I thought about this, that did not have nothing to eat or nothing to drink. To the impure food which those in exile in Judah would be forced to eat. Stuff like they never ate before. And this is what Ezekiel says you're going to go through. You're going to eat things, and there's not going to be anything to eat. There's six instructions that God gives Ezekiel to give to that gives to the prophet to give in regards to this diet and give to the people that I see, and I'm going to share those with you. The nature of his food was restricted. His bread was to be of an odd mixture of grain and seed. In other words, you won't go into a restaurant and say, "You want whole wheat or white?" No, I'm going to take whatever you got, and I'm going to take a lesser quality. It's not made with rich white flour because we ain't got any, you know. Instead of the normal wheat flour that we probably used to, various kind of cereal. It's going to be filled with cereal. Must be my phone went off. I heard something. Those besieged in Jerusalem would have to eat what they could get. This is how bad it's going to do. The city is going to be in foreign exile. The Jews would not be able to decide about their diet. I won't be able to go into Concon and say, "Hey, give me a couple of eggs, medium, crisp bacon. You want a potato? Oh, I don't know. You want tomato? I don't know. You want gravy? I don't know." They'd be close. Really. They wouldn't have nothing. All the luxury of this life is gone. This is what's coming. One of the points that Ezekiel is trying to establish is that God's people would eat unclean food as exiles in foreign lands. This points to establishing during the 390 days on his left side. This is what it's going to come to. The quality of his food was limited. Ezekiel, his diet during the 390 days was to consist of 20 shekels of food, verse 10, and 6 of hin of water. This amount to about 10 ounces of food and a quart of water daily. Daily. See how bad things can get when you don't have God's blessings? We're God's people. That just incented us to live for God. We got to be holy and righteous for Him. And not only do we understand His grace and mercy through the gospel, but He takes care of physical man too. The fact that food was weight rather than measure indicates the most extreme scarcity of food. This food was to be eaten as barley cake. The food was to be eaten in their sight. They would come to understand it as a sign of what has befallen them already and what would be befalling the brethren in Jerusalem. This is all going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. That's how this world would be without God. not only would we be lost spiritually, but man, we would be hurting physically too. One of the calamities is the lack of fuel when this city is. And so Ezekiel was prepared his food with unclean fuel. If you don't have potatoes and beans, you're not going to go into the service station and get a gallon of fuel either. Ezekiel made a significant point. Israel's position as a separate and sanctified people would be destroyed during the Babylon Empire. God is going to allow this happen because of your sins. He's going to allow this happen. Ezekiel had practiced his faith. The godly prophet was not so much concerned with that which displeased his taste as that which offended his conscience. Did I get down to the end? Lord God, behold, my soul has not been polluted from my youth up. Forget about how it's going to taste. That's not a concern of mine. My concern is I don't. Corrupt any of the commandments that you gave me. And that's really been one of my prior thoughts in my mind. No matter how bad things get, Lord, you're first and foremost. Lord is what you say. Lord, give me strength and wisdom and help me do what you say. He had followed the law of God. Now, sometimes you can get yourself in a situation where it's hard to do that, but boy, if you can stand up and say, I've done that, and God knows. God knows if he has or not. When we's probably told you a story before. When we were living over in Eastland Park, I had a Baptist preacher living next to me. He had two little kids, and I had two little kids. And you know how kids are, they get into it. I was standing right inside one of the door, and I heard Chris was always the main lady. Said to their little girl, said, my daddy can beat up your daddy. You know, you've seen that and heard that before. And the little girl said, no, he can't. So Chris said, Ginger, go in and get daddy and bring him out here. I thought, oh, man, we're going to have to go out there and duke it out right in the yard, you know. So we went out. The four kids are all ready for it. The two daddies get into it. This guy, he was a Jaggers. This guy got us all in a circle. I've had this happen to me twice. Had it happen once time out at Wicks Lumber Company when they found out I had a brain tumor. They took me back in the office. We all sat down in a circle, joined hands, and prayed. Well, he had us all sit down, and we prayed. Well, that took the fight out of the kids. I've always been impressed with that all my life. When they was building their house, they were building their house at the same time I was building mine. And we would go over and look around, and they had scripture written on the wall. Well, one time I heard one of my men say, what does that say? And one of them said, well, I don't know. Ask Charlie. He's the only one who knows the Bible. So I was coming down. He said, Charlie, what does that scripture say? So I didn't know, but I didn't want to disappoint them. They thought I knew. I said, oh, you know, it's got in there about building your house upon sand. I said, they don't build a good house like we do next door, you know. And it's going to collapse on them, you know. And they all laughed about that, you know, and everything. I remember when we was building over in Highland Way, this guy, he was a jack-like preacher, and you walk around. He was older then. He's dead now. And you would see scraps of wood laying around with scripture on it. And the graph going and picked that up. And that's what he was meditating upon as he saw and cut and build those apartments over there. I was building some too. And he had scriptures written all over the little scrap pieces around there. He died years later. His wife approached me. She went to church a while and she said, I've got this couple that I work with. I'd like you to come over and teach the Bible to them. I said, I can't do it. I said, all right, I'll do it. Can't be over with already, Larry. He just sits back there and looks at that clock and waits until the time to get them to go knock on the doors. I got all kinds of stories to tell you. Anyway, she set up this Bible study. There's three of them, plus myself. Two of them we couldn't convert, one we did. She gets credit for that. I told her before, she's dead now too. I said, you get credit for that. We're going to, let me get the next slide up. The fifth chapter, the first four verses end with the same thing. So we're going to look at that, and then we might try to get through the fifth chapter Wednesday night.